Tennessee State Rep. Andy Holt isn't backing down on his promise to give away a semi-automatic rifle, a gun very much like the one used in the Orlando slaughter. He's doubling down. He's giving away two. You may have heard, before the shooting at the Pulse nightclub, Representative Holt pledged to give away a rifle as a door prize at Hogfest, this weekend's fundraiser at his family hog farm. But now he's offering two, as he wrote on Facebook the day after the attack. That's right, I'm now giving away two AR-15s. He's not unfamiliar with controversy. He sponsored a bill in his state allowing college employees to carry guns on campus. He's purchased concealed carry permits to give away. But giving away military-style weapons? State Representative Holt joins us now by Skype. Representative Holt, why give away these weapons now, after Orlando?
Yeah, so in response to that, I think that this particular terrorist would love the fact that his actions would have begotten an erosion of constitutional rights for law-abiding Americans. Mm. So what we want to do is we want to say, you know what, first of all, we're going to celebrate the Second Amendment. And really what we're going to do is even more at this point now than ever. We need to recognize that the actions of a nefarious person should not cripple the rights of law-abiding citizens.
Well, it's really interesting that many of the victims, they decided to go back into clubs and celebrate that way. You feel that the celebration should be of gun rights, and we know you are set against gun restrictions. Even requiring the people on the terrorism no-fly watch lists, requiring that they not be able to buy a gun, let's take that up for a moment. If there had been such a restriction, with a look back, a five or so year look back, the Orlando shooter wouldn't have been able to get a gun. Why be against people who are on watch lists not being able to buy a gun?
So the watch list is an arbitrary list that's put together by government bureaucrats. And from what I understand, a lot of times we can't even be told exactly why a person goes on a watch list. So at what point do we give over that arbitrary control to bureaucrats?
But there's a process in which you can get off the watch list. I mean, Ted Kennedy had to do it. You're right. There's, you know, there are people on it who shouldn't be on it. And in this case, I mean, it's hard to argue he was on it. Yes, he was released from it. But if there was a look back, which, you know, lawmakers are proposing, he wouldn't have been able to buy a gun.
Well, let's look at the fact that the FBI was contacted not once, not twice, to interview this particular gentleman, but then by the gun salesman who said, I think this gentleman needs to be looked at or something needs to be done. Yeah. Nothing happened.
Well, except no, the FBI went, but they had no license. There was no way to trace that call. But I take your point.
Well, and I think that we need to be careful. I mean, in the same way that I don't want to be profiled by saying, hey, listen, this guy lives in this spot. He's really outspoken and really right-leaning. I don't want to just profile and say, well, everyone who is Islamic or everyone who is this or everyone who is that, you know, is going to be specifically profiled. But when an individual meets certain criteria on multiple occasions, then I think it's at that point that FBI investigations or other types of investigations, which are supposed to be enforcing these no-fly lists. But the idea that we would give over our constitutional rights and say, you know what, we don't need to protect ourselves with the intent that the founders gave to us. We'll let government provide that for us. Well, I don't trust that. And I don't trust the government to keep my safety in check either.
In your state, Tennessee, firearm salesmen that are not federally licensed don't have to do checks on purchasers. And as you know, Tennessee Democratic Party Chair Mary Mancini wrote in a statement, well, let's hear her out. She says, responsible gun owners don't put guns in the hands of strangers. Andy Holt doesn't know if he's putting the winning raffle ticket in the hands of the next mass shooter.
Yeah, and I need to respond to that because, first of all, it's not a raffle, technically. And second of all, whoever it is that wins the door prize of these two rifles, the two individuals, they will have to go through a federal firearms licensing background check.
So let's make it clear, the two people who win, you're going to require that they go through a background check before they get the gun, even though you don't have to do that by law.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because here's the thing. Why would we be afraid for anybody to go through a background check if they're a law-abiding citizen?
Well, then why would you be afraid to require them?
Well, I think what we see is that when you do that, what you do is you place a burden on all these folks. There's a significant cost associated with that background check. And that's honestly, a lot of firearms dealers make as much money off the background check as they do off the firearm. So what we see is any inhibition to a lawful individual being able to purchase that firearm, in my opinion, is, again, a further infringement on that right. The Second Amendment clearly says the right shall not be infringed.
Well, let me ask you something, Andy Holt. Right now, the bills that have been attempted in Congress would expand background checks to include gun show sales and online sales. The sale might have to wait for a day or so. You want to do this with the guns you're giving away. Why?
Well, I think that we don't have anything to hide.
But isn't it because, too, don't you really want to be sure who gets that gun you've given away?
Sure. I mean, there's no problem with that. But here's what we have to see is, I mean, in my education, I mean, I'm an economist by trade. What we recognize is that taxes and tariffs, penalties, fees provided by government. Yeah, we could do a background check on every gun everywhere. But what I see is ultimately that leads to a reduction of the opportunity for people to get protection for themselves. I can tell you, I put out a request 5 or 6 days ago, and I said that I would give away 5 concealed carry permits to 5 individuals who would contact my office. We've had over 1,000 phone calls. But do you know that a ton of the folks that called, it really did surprise me. What we see is that anytime we add a cost to a constitutional right, it puts the poorest and those with the least capacity in the most unsafe position. When we increase the cost of possessing a firearm, we decrease the number of lawful firearms that give people the protection and the great equalizer that they need to tackle crime.
Representative Holt, I just have to follow up on this. You know, I'm hearing you say that you'd want to know, you'd want to check and make sure somebody you gave a gun to. I can hear you. I mean, why would you ever want somebody to walk away with a gun you gave them who turns out to be someone who shouldn't have it?
Nobody has the intent that is a lawful gun salesman to put any kind of a lawfully possessed weapon in an unlawful person's hands.
Right, but without a gun background check, you know, how do you know that? Now, you're doing it.
Would you about this? Because, I mean, we can go ahead and end the interview right now. I've made my opinion very clear. Now, obviously, you have your own biased opinion about this.
No. You've triggered a question I didn't know I'd have. Because you're being responsible. I can hear that you care. You're a public person. You've got a reputation. You want to make sure that this gun doesn't get into the wrong hands. How is it that you wouldn't require people who don't have that same sense of responsibility you have, require them to do it?
Because we've done it for years and years and years, and probably hundreds of millions of firearms have been exchanged in that capacity. And guess what? The vast, vast, vast majority of those firearms have never been used for nefarious purposes.
We understand that your family, your staff, you've received death threats.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, in my tenure as a state representative, death threats have been a pretty common occurrence, unfortunately for me. I mean, we've had calls to our home threatening the life of my wife and children. Mm. And my views on traditional family values, traditional marriage and things like that have begotten me several death threats as well. But this particular situation, which is extremely odd, is that people who are anti-gun are calling and threatening gun violence on me as a sitting state legislator.
Well, that's scary. That's scary. You know, people on the other side of this debate have also received death threats. You know that. The woman who founded Moms Demand Actions for Gun Control has armed men showing up ominously at her events. Her kids' accounts have been hacked. They've all had their lives threatened. It's scary.
And that's ridiculous. Yeah. There's no reason for that whatsoever. Yeah. Well, my defense of a constitutional right, I don't think should get me death threats. And a person's free will and their constitutional First Amendment right to say what they wish, I don't think that should get them a death threat either.
No.
So I think we just live in a very polarized country right now, especially on some of these issues.
Well, I guess the question just is, it's very frightening. The question is, doesn't that give you some pause to consider maybe some tamping down of emotions instead of deliberately provoking them by giving away 2 guns that have been associated with so much pain?
That's not a fair statement at all.
No?
To say that I'm provoking, I am defending a constitutional right. I think that the erosion of any constitutional right begets further erosion of other constitutional rights.
Andy Holt, who represents District 76 in the Tennessee Assembly, I do thank you so much, Representative Holt, for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.